here a very, very interesting chapter. I think it's very appropriate for Parshas Korach. Korach was, Chazal say, was a very charismatic rabbi. He was rabbi. He was a rabbi. He was a rav. He was a Korach.
Korach.
Korach was a very charismatic leader. He had a very large following, and when he went up against Moshe, it was a real threat to Klal Yisrael. It wasn't just, you know, the fringe element. They say. Well, I told you to say that all the various Gedolei Yisrael throughout the generations have said that if they were alive at the time of Korach, there is no question they would have been one of his followers. Chazal seemed to indicate that he was far more charismatic, far more popular, far more appealing to the masses than Moshe. And, he was very, very, he was a chochem, the Chazal, he was a chochem gadol. He was able to manipulate people, and it was a very, very big problem, very, very big nisayon. Okay, ultimately, Korach was disgraced. He was proven to be a fraud, and he was swallowed up in the ground. Now, let's think a hypothetical question. What would have been if Korach had a website? Okay? Had a website, and he had on the website thousands of shiurim.
Could have been president.
Okay, what?
Could have been president.
President, he was, Korach. Let's assume. I mean, put him in a modern perspective. Korach must have had a yeshiva. Okay, the yeshiva of Korach. It was a big yeshiva, thousands of talmidim. He had a whole institutions. Yeah, you know, girls' schools, boys' schools. He had a curriculum. He had published many volumes, many books, many svarim. Shiurim, lectures, websites, v'chulu. And now, Korach has been swallowed up in the ground. Shaila is, are we still allowed to go to the website and listen to the shiurim? They're fantastic. They're just fantastic. The shiurim, they're unbelievable. There's no competition.
Why isn't there any worse than a rav who writes a sefer and then later?
Oh, that's the question. That's it. So, to me, exactly. That's how it is. What about all of his Sfarim, Korach's Sfarim, and his Chidushim? Does that mean just because, you know, he got a little carried away with himself later in his life, in his old age, so all of his life accomplishments have to go down the drain? The yeshiva, do they have to close up the yeshiva? What would happen if Korach would come back out of the ground? And he says, I do teshuv, theoretically speaking. Let's say Korach would have come out of the ground, he grabbed onto a rock, and Chazal say, you know, I don't know about Korach, about his children, they can do the tshuva, and they can come back. I don't know all the problem. B'nei Korach lo meisim. Well, let's say, theoretically speaking, Korach would come back, and Korach at the very end would say, you know what, Moshe, I stand down, I do tshuva. I have charat to do tshuva. Would Korach be allowed to be reinstated to his position as Rosh Yeshiva? What would be the halacha? So, a lot of us don't think about this. I mean, I never thought about this because it's not really practical, because most of the time it's over. But there are practical considerations that apply in Mizban Hazeh, especially for, unfortunately, in the last number of years, there were situations where there were people, very well-respected Talmidei Chachamim, who unfortunately got carried away with different types of sins, some money, some in matters of arayos, skili arayos. You don't really have that many that relate to minus apikorsis, which is not so. That's not really so simple either. Because let's talk about years ago in the show. I actually was reading about this. I wanted really to tie this together. I didn't have time to go through it well, but Gil student has a website, Hirhurim. So yeah, there are a lot of articles about the Shul Chumash, the Art Scroll Stone Edition verse, the years ago, the Hertz Chumash, mm-hmm. And the Hertz Chumash included Verklach from Christians and others that he wrote there in that introduction, those famous words, take the truth from where it comes, which became extremely controversial. Yeah. A lot of shuls had no choice, it was the only game in town. Okay, a lot of young Israelis, it was the only game in town, so they had the Hertz Chumash in Shul. That was before there was a stone edition. So if you want something for the Balabatim to learn a little bit during Kriyas HaTorah, that was the only game in town those days. The Pentateuch, there was something. The Pentateuch, another one. But today it's not. Today it's a dead issue. Today none of the shuls are running to buy the Herz Chumash. The article has sold. The number of Chumashim of the stone edition is just beyond belief. And now I think they're putting out now. He's putting out. He writes there. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs. So he's now putting out like another a shul Chumash, which is a little more of a modern slant. Which is maybe more geared towards, you know, the more modern Orthodox. They feel the stone edition may be a little bit too right wing. I don't know why. Don't ask me. That's what he writes in the article. But in any event, so are you allowed? What do you do in these situations? So he goes through here. He has a very interesting chapter, and he packs in here, David Lichtenstein. He packs in an enormous amount of sources. And ideas and concepts. Let's just run through some of the basic yesodos relating to this inyan. The first inyan we have to talk about is, like Rabbi Mirsky mentioned, the first makar for this is, where it all starts, is the Gemara. Where is the Gemara found? There's a Gemara in Boyd Katan. No, not Boyd Katan, that's the other Gemara. The main Gemara is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Avuya. Rabbi Meir was a Talmud of Ache, Rabbi Avuya. Rabbi Avuya was one of the Tanoim, one of the most outstanding Talmidei Chachamim. Which parak is that? Which Misafta? Chagiga. So Rabbi Avuya was one of the most outstanding Tanoim the world has ever seen. And somehow he went off the derech. And Rabbi Meir, another Tana, was his loyal student. And Rabbi Meir, to the surprise of all of his colleagues, continued to study under the direction of his Rebbe, Rebbe Avuya, even after Rebbe Avuya. He was one of those Nichnas Lepardes. He went to the Pardes, these mystical concepts, and he got carried away and he went off the derech. Rebbe Meir, to the shock and surprise and the rebuke, consternation of his Chaverim, continued to study under the guidance of his Rebbe, Rebbe Avuya, which the Gemara calls him Acher. The Gemara always refers to Acher, Elisha ben Avuya. The Gemara still records his teachings as from Acher, before he went off the Derech. So they said, how are you allowed to do this? What are you doing? How can you go study under Rebbe Elisha ben Avuya? So the Gemara, how is he allowed? The Gemara doesn't answer. I mean, the Gemara talks about how is he allowed to. So the Gemara gives the following answer. There's a difference between a Gadol and a Katan. That means a very great, outstanding Talmud Chacham is permitted to do this, whereas a minor Talmud Chacham, a Katan, is not allowed. Why? Because there's always a concern that you will learn the wrong things. A Gadol knows how to eat the fruit and to throw away the shell. I mean, Meir is Ochal the Te'enim. And I've got the Zoyrek HaKlipois. He was able to throw away the shell. Who can we trust to go and study under an Apikoros and only extract from him the good and reject the evil? You have to be on the Madrega of a Rebbe Meir. You have to be a Gadol. In a Chanami, Rebbe Meir was allowed to do this, so therefore there was no criticism against Rebbe Meir. But anyone that's not a Rebbe Meir's Madrega is not allowed to do this. I don't know.
Right.
Sorry,
Gemalchus. Right. So today is his yard site.
Today is Rechanan Tragen.
Right.
He was one of the Asorah Harvey Gemalchus.
Let me get back to this. The reason I'm bringing it up is because there's a difference between the Shalmi and the Babli treating of an
Acher. Yeah.
And if you go back to the Agadah, it says that they came out of Pardes.
Yeah.
And what is that whole story about?
Yeah.
You had Rabbi Akiva.
Ben Azai ben Soma and Elisha ben Avuya.
So, and suddenly he became a Meshumet. They say he even became a Meister. He gave over to the Romans.
Who, Elisha?
Elisha.
That when the Jews did something, he said they're really doing something else and they're faking it out. So there may be the schus, there may be a pshat that the whole story of the Pardes is an explanation of the political rebellion against the Romans.
Like you're at war with the Tanrachnai.
Rabbi Akiva, for example, lived with them. Hananya said, you know, burn me, I'm not interested. And Elisha went to join them.
Uh-huh. Interesting. That's very
so that's
interesting.
Why they,
it's all part
why
of how they.
Why did they suddenly call him Acher? I mean,
okay, interesting. That's an interesting idea. You want to say that it's more in relation how they dealt with the political environment of the time. That's the paradise. The paradise is not just the mystical secrets of Shemaiah.
Okay. Is not called Acher.
You're right. It is a
only
very.
Okay.
Okay, that requires further study. Maybe one day you'll give us a shir. The same way you gave this to the sequel. The sequel to your shir on the Taner Achnai. So Mirtz Hashem will give us a shir explaining the four that were Nichnas Lepardes and how it really relates to how they related to the political environment of their time. Getting back to the Gemara. So we have here the Gemara. This is the most critical Yisod is the Machlok the Kandik of Remeir, how he went and he said by Elisha ben Avuya, and the Gemara says, how was he allowed to do this? The answer is a gadol v'katan. Now, question is, how do we pass on halacha lemaisa? The Rambam. The Rambam does not bring this down halacha lemaisa. The Rambam paskins that a Rebbe Shein Hogun, a Rebbe that has been convicted, has been shown to have done sins that again don't get carried away. We have to discuss. There are a lot of different things to discuss. What kind of sins are we discussing? Did the Rebbe do tshuva? Not do tshuva. Is it public? Is it not public? But we're just talking generalities for the moment. A Rebbe that is not Hogun. Whatever that means, he is not Hogun. The Rambam categorically says it is also to study under his guidance. He is not allowed to be a teacher for Klal Yisrael. Kash on the Rambam. Why didn't the Rambam bring down this sheet in the Gemara? The Gemara says it's not true. The only time you're not allowed to study under a Rebbe, She'enoi Hogun, that's not proper, is if you are a Katan. But if you're a Gadol, you're allowed to. So this question has attracted the attention of all of the Mefarshei HaRambam. And some of them even go further to say, what about the Rambam himself? He wrote Mor Nevuchim. And the Mor Nevuchim only came about through engaging in the ideas of all of the biggest apikarsim of Aristotle and the philosophers of his generation, which were clearly even worse, if not worse, than Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya. So how did the Rambam himself go and do all of this? So the answer, so one of the popular answers, the Rambam holds in the Hanami that the Bizman Hazeh, he held, there is no such thing anymore as a Gadol. We're not on the Madrega, there's no person today in this day and age, in his day and age, going back 800 years, that can call himself a Gadol. Except for the Rambam himself. the Rambam was a Gadol. Okay, that's really what it comes down to. The Rambam held himself to be a Gadol. The Rambam, with all humility aside, I am still a gadol. I am allowed to engage in this dialogue, but there's no one else that can call himself a gadol. So therefore, don't get carried away. Furthermore, they said that if the Rambam would write this halacha, everyone would come along and say, "I'm a gadol." Everyone would think in this generation is known as great as me, and people will make that mistake, and then you go down the slippery slope. You think you're only extracting the good. Before you turn around, you become just like the Rebbe, this magnificent, charismatic teacher, and you'll be following in his ways.
How about the writings before the rabbi went off to death?
Oh, when it comes to that, we're going to come down in a few moments. Okay, so let's for the moment. Okay, so let's say it's a public knowledge. Now it's public knowledge. He's been convicted. The court has he's in prison. He's in prison for committing a crime. He's in court for committing a crime of Gili Arias, or he's an apikores that he acknowledges. Let's theoretically speaking, we can put a date on it. We'll get that in a few moments. Another answer given. I'm just a lot of things I'm recording from memory, so I'm getting because I'm not so organized. I didn't spend all that much time going through everything very carefully, and that is the difference between learning publicly and learning privately. In that, Rabbi Meir he studied under Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya in a private setting, and you need that condition as well. You have to be a gadol. But even if you're a gadol, you only can study under the Rebbe in a private setting. But if it's a public forum, like a Rebbe who has a position in the yeshiva, then even in the Gemara would not allow a person to have a position. You can't go have a yeshiva for only gadolim, a yeshiva for great people, and the Rebbe is going to be Napi Kores, and we're going to trust the Talmidim that even if the Talmidim indeed are very great people, they're not going to make any mistake, they're not going to learn. But if it's done in a public setting, that is usher. That is usher.
Public knowledge at some point.
What's it again? In public what?
Public knowledge. He's learning privately, but everyone knows he's learning privately.
It could be that's okay. I don't know. That's a gray area. I don't know. I think about it. I don't know. But Rabbi Meir studied under Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya privately. The discussion in the Gemara, how was he allowed to do that? It seems that the Rambam is not even discussing learning privately under a Rebbe. Maybe there's another Rambam which Mashmah you can do it. Maybe another Rambam which Mashmah you could do it. I don't have all the details. But when the Rambam says that you're not allowed to go learn under a Rebbe, that's Shein Hogan, he's discussing a public Rebbe. You have a yeshiva, and you have a yeshiva. You have a yeshiva, he's on the salary. You can go look him up online. Okay, he has a yeshiva. So then, categorically, there's no distinction between a gadol and a katan that will allow into this shiur. This shiur has been given by this Apikoris, and there's none like him. What he has to offer is just off the charts, and he's only going to teach you good things. So to qualify, to get into the shiur, you have to be a gadol. The Rambam says, sorry, it's aser. There's no heter from the Gemara, because the Gemara is only discussing private tutoring. The Gemara is not discussing a person who has a public position. So these are two answers as to why the Rambam did not make any mention of this heter in the Gemara. Either the Rambam holds that Bizman Azeh, there is no such thing today as a gadol, or even if there is a gadol has to be only done in private. And the Rambam, when he passed halacha, is discussing the general way that we have teachers today. Teachers today are public figures. Shulchan Aruch also quotes the Rambam, does not make any distinction. It is categorically forbidden to study under a Rebbe who is not a Talmud Chacham. Well, the Gemara actually says, the Gemara Masechta, the Gemara in the Chagiga, there's a parallel, just Gemara in the Gemara says, Ki sivsei koyhein yishmiru das. The lips of the koyhein guard wisdom, v'soira yivakshu mipiu ki malach Hashem tzivakoysu. A Rebbe is a malach. And the Gemara makes a drasha that if your Rebbe is like a malach who does not do averos, then yivakshu Torah mipiu. If your Rebbe is not like a malach, you're not allowed to study Torah from him. And there's a contradiction, a very good contradiction he points out here in one of the footnotes. And that is the Gemara, Pelda Gemara with the Mashah, the Gemara Masechta Machlis. What happens if a Rebbe kills someone by accident? What happens to the Rebbe? Well, both. The Gemara has both. The student kills or the Rebbe kills. Let's say the Rebbe, for sake of simplicity, we're going to time, the Rebbe kills. What happens to the Rebbe? The Rebbe goes to Golos. He goes to Arim Mikvot. Who comes with the Rebbe? The Talmidim. The Chay has to live. So you bring the whole yeshiva, to Arim Mikvot. The Rebbe, is the Rebbe a tzaddik or a rasha? So the Mashah says, anyone that kills even B'shoigeg is a rasha. Because you should be more careful. If you really was an accident, you don't go to Ori Miklat. Every act of killing is an indication. It's a very frightening concept because there are very good people today that how can you say such a thing like this? I mean, hard to understand this, so don't get carried away. Don't take anything that to Libby. Then you potter. Right. But a shoigeg, that has to go to Ori Miklat, which basically means, according to the list of our Shah, a person who's chayiv Ori Miklat automatically makes him into a Rebbe She'enoi Hogun. And yet, what does it say? It says the yeshiva goes with him. So Rebbe She'enoi Hogun is teaching Talmidim. So the Mashah is the Skasha. And the Mashah says the Gemara does not differentiate. So the answer is the Mashah has to say, the Mashah says, unbelievable answer, has to be that the Gemara means the only ones that are allowed to go to learn in the Ori Miklat are the Talmidim who are Begeder Gidolim. The Rebbe was killed by Shoigeg. The Rebbe is a Rebbe Sheinu Hagun. The Rebbe needs to be occupied in Ari Miklat. The only thing the Rebbe knows how to do is to teach Torah. So bring Talmidim, but only certain types of Talmidim. Only Talmidim who know how to differentiate between good and bad. And therefore, it seems like the Rambam. Because the Rambam says that this application of Gadol V'Katan doesn't apply. We don't pass like it all together. Basically, a lot of the Rambam, we don't pass like das. I told you that the Rambam, the Zman, is no longer Gadol. Some say that it's a Das Yochid. Another answer. That we don't pass like this Gemara, there's no difference. A Rebbe She'enoi Hogun is out. Period. You see, the Marshal says it's not so. The Marshal says, the Gemara says that the Rebbe needs Talmidim. The Rebbe is Begedish in Hagun, and we bring Talmidim, and the only Talmidim we can bring are Talmidim who are Gedolim. So we see that this principle is very practical. There is an application to this principle of having only Talmidim that are Gedolim. All right, so this is something which requires more ear. Okay, now let's go to some other... question over here is, what qualifies, let's go to the next level, what qualifies as being a Rebbe that is not Hogla? So this is a very gray area. Okay, in modern times, what have been all the scandals? Most of the scandals, unfortunately, we relate to Arayos. Okay, people that are found having relations with women that they should not be anywhere near. Students, things like that. Then there are situations of gezel, people who have been accused of theft. And then there are situations of just acting improperly. The midos are not, they do other things. Those three categories are not apikorsim. These are people who have their head, the hashkaf is the right hashkafa. It's just they have a yetzahara. But Yetzirah, they can't control themselves. So some will tell you it's a sickness, some say it's not a sickness, everyone's responsible for their actions. The manipulators, they manipulate people. But as far as Hashkafa, the Hashkafa appears to be ironclad. It's just that they're mushchasim, they're involved in Mishkaf Zachar, they're involved in Arayos, they're involved in Gezel. It's Taiva, or Kina, HaTaiva, HaKava, but it's not necessarily Hashkafa. So does this mean that now when they're discredited, okay, that's one guy. Then there's apikorsis. Then there's certainly apikorsis. People who are now come out of the closet, the apikorsis. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in this. And this is they want to say that Torah never happened. You have some of those type of stories you do have in open orthodoxy, unfortunately, where people have taken shtelis and they're assumed to be, you know, the fringe edge of modern orthodox. And then all of a sudden they go and they say, you know something? Torah is not min hashamayim. You know, we have to clarify my position, why I changed my mind. It never happened. Torah Hashem never came and gave the Torah. The stories in the Torah never happened. Is this what you believed all along? There have been rabbanim who have done this. I mean, these are, you know, the free... Well, I don't know if I believed it all along, but now it became clear to me. But these people, these rabbanim, some of them are very chash, some of them in the past have been published in some very, very, very chash of journals. Okay, they have articles in some, you know, there are a lot of journals out there today, and now all of a sudden they're coming out, they're doing things which are making themselves into what we call an apikoris, gomor. How do we deal with all of their prior teachings? That's much, much more serious. Then, there are situations of chil Hashem. Okay, I don't know, so basically going to all the sources, he goes through a long list. It was one gemara. And the Gemara Moed Kaden says, "V'atam Chacham Dahave Sonu Shum Ane." The words are, "His reputation was disgraced." There's a long list of Rishonim who come to define the meaning of their reputation was disgraced. The Talmidei Rabbeinu Yechiel, this is Rishonim, say, "What does it mean?" These are Rishon Arayos, Gili Arayos, adultery. Another one, the Ritva says, what was the mean that this Talmud Chacham, whose name was disgraced, was Parutz Kitsas Bezima. Doesn't say he was Mamish Arayis, another thing he was Mamish Kol, it means Misyached Im Apnuyos, V'hoya Keir Godel Lutzum Rabban. He had Yichud, he just hung out with single girls. That's not Arayos, no Chiv Misa, but it was something that was disgusting in the eyes of his colleagues. Another Rishon says, Rabbeinu Chananel says, doesn't say Arayos, doesn't say Gili Arayos, doesn't say that he was hanging out with the girls. It says, Shehoyo Shem Shamaya Mischalel Al Yado. He was involved in a Chil Hashem. What's the Chil Hashem? It can be a variety of many things. It can be he was gambling. It can be, I don't know, you name it, he was eating non-kosher food. It can be any type of thing. It was a chilul Hashem what he did, and it was in the public eye. It was on the news. It was in the media. And there, kol shechaverav mispaishim. Some even go far to say Kol shechaderav misbayishim machmas shimu also. His colleagues are embarrassed. That alone is enough. Okay, so here we have a long list of opinions, and it's not really clear what will qualify, but the basic consensus is that a person that has committed a public chil Hashem, a person that's guilty of gilui arayos, a person that's guilty of doing things which are not cause embarrassment to the other members of the clergy, the Gemara says he's out. I mean, it doesn't either. You don't have to be an apikores to be out of the game. You're out, and it means you're not allowed mikanu lehaba to learn from his teachings. Now, the next question is, what about the old teachings? What he had before? So I was shocked to learn that it's not so simple. There's a long collection of opinions. What about learning from things that he published in the past? Problem is that when you continue to go to his website and to his svarim and learn from his chidushim, beautiful chidushim that he has, you can't help but be influenced by his character, who he is, and in your mind, listen, it's not so bad to be nichshol in arayos. I mean, I'm learning his chidushim. The stuff is amazing. He has amazing chidushim. Okay, it didn't turn out well. This guy, his yetzer hara got the better of him. He was caught living with an eshes ish. If it could happen to him, it could happen to me. He did it, so if I'll do it, so it won't be the end of the world. The mind is a very delicate thing. And it's very bechomer. I mean, it's a very disheartening thing to be so machmer, which many person are machmer like this, because a person's whole life work, he spends his whole life producing chidushei Torah, and now he sins at the end, he's nichshol, the yetzer gets him, he's nichshol with an eshes ish, he's nichshol with a penuya, okay, he's caught in a place where he shouldn't be, and now to say that's it, no one's allowed to learn his chidushim. It's one thing he's fired, he's removed from his position, and he's not going to get a new public position anywhere else. But to say that everything that he taught until now, his whole life, all of his farm have to be removed from the shelf, from the bookstore, have to be taken off the shelf, and therefore he has no legacy, there's no sifsois of Deivais Bakever, because he was nichshol, because of the chashash, that maybe by studying his chidushim, you'll say, listen, if he ended up doing an Avera, so if I'll do the Avera, it can't be the end of the world. The person has to be always in a state of Pachan and Yiras Hashem Nadu. It's a very, very big Chumra. It's a very frightening thing, but I'm telling you,
between the things he's done, if he was an Apikoros.
No, I'm telling you, that's not what it says. That's the shock when he comes out over here and he quotes many persons.
This could have been 10 years ago, he could have been. We just didn't know about it.
Look, a Sefer Torah that's written by a min, a Sefer goes off the derech. You're allowed to continue using a svarim. You're only mikanul haba, whatever he did before is kosher. But when it comes to learning, this is the Gemara. The Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham, whose name, his reputation has been ruined, you're not allowed to learn from. And according to many opinions, it means even the teachings that he taught in the past may not be studied from. He has a lot of different examples of this.
So there's a spirit to that. We say, yep.
Yes, so what does that mean?
So if you don't read,
so you have to know. It doesn't mean you're learning. That's not your teachings. You have a Talmud Chacham. Think of this. You have a Talmud Chacham who wrote a fantastic Sefer. Beautiful Chidushim. And then the day comes when he's caught being nichshol with an eshes ish, and it's all over the news. That means, according to many parts, can take the book that you have in your house of his sefer that he wrote, and put in Shemus. Is that really fair? He spent his whole life, and now with his whole legacy, his chidushim is no longer going to be said. What about sifsoyz davis bakever? It's a very, very frightening thing.
He was caught gambling, and then he had to...
Chil Hashem, the same thing. Chil Hashem, it's not only beginning Napikore. Maybe it's Napikore, so then you can see even worse, because then you can see that maybe when he wrote this originally,
right. But
the Gemara, that's the Chish. The Gemara says his name, his reputation has been ruined. And the Gemara, all of the Rishonim, what does it mean? He made a Chil Hashem, a public Chil Hashem. He was nichshol in arayos, eshes ish, or even hanging out with single girls, or any chil Hashem. He didn't do anything.
Well,
he manipulated people. He was a manipulator, abusive.
The Gemara didn't take away his rabbanus.
They didn't take away. That's pashut.
He got a leinish to it.
No, that's pashut ad ma'od. That is a given that he's removed from his position. And the Ram goes so far to say that now what about tshuva? Let him do tshuva. He'll get it back. I'll do tshuva. Then comes the next big topic. What exactly do you need to do in order to get back your reputation, to get back at least a license to get a job again? So first of all, the Rambam says an incredible chiddush. A Rambam says that a person that has been removed because of Chil Hashem, all of the mentioned above, no matter what he does to do tshuva, he does not get back his original position. Isn't that amazing how chomer the Rambam is?
That's on the top
of the
list.
If you have a job...
It's
unbelievable. The chumas.
That most difficult to
do tshuva for. But let's say he was caught. Let's say he's a rebbe. He's a rebbe in the yeshiva. Rebbe in the yeshiva, and he's caught being nichshol in an avera, and he's in the news. He's in the news. He's gambling, addicted to gambling, or he's nichshol in Gilei Arayos. And then he comes down. He says, "I'm guilty. I'm going for therapy for a year." Chatosi avisi pashati. He does everything you can possibly do in this world to do tshuva. Mamish, and he does, and then the whole world acknowledges the therapy, he's on the medication, and he confesses, and he, you name it. Can he get back his original job? No. Can he get another job? Yeah, maybe. Another job, maybe. But you don't go back to the original. The Rambam is very clear. You're a Rosh, you use the word a Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Moshe has the truth of what the Rambam, Rav Moshe has the truth of what it really means, but basically the consensus is, according to all the Pesachim of the princes over here, is there's no second chances to get back your original position. That's it, you're out. Once it's an amazing chumash. I never personally appreciated the depth of how far it goes. We live in America, and America is a very forgiving country. As long as you're willing to confess and say, "I'm sorry, yeah, I made a mistake, I'll do tshuva, I'll go for therapy."
So someone who did jail time.
What? Doesn't matter. You did jail time, you did jail time, and you went for therapy, and now you come out, you can get another job, but you cannot get your original job. According to the halakha, according to the Rambam, you cannot get your original teaching job. Why? Of course not.
Other than,
why can you be Tovea?
You wouldn't hire someone who had that.
Why not? Let's say they want him back. Let's say the organization is a celebrity.
He gave a daf yomi in jail. He comes out of it.
Let's say he's a celebrity. He's a celebrity, and they want him back. The original institution wants him back. No, the Rambam says he's not allowed to go back. It's a chil hashem v'klal yisrael. A person that was removed from his position, even if he does teshuva to the extreme. And by the way, you should know how much teshuva you have to do is a question. For example, a person who's a mummer, he's a mechal Shabbos, and he wants to testify in Beis Din. Can he testify? No. Let's say he says, "Okay,
I did testify."
What? No, that's fine. As long as we don't know at that point in time, we did not know there was Mechal Shabbos. It's fine. In the past, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. But let's say it's Monday afternoon, and the guy says, "I want to testify." They see a Mechal Shabbos. I'm a kabbal upon myself. This Shabbos, I'm going to become Shomer Shabbos. Mechana lahaba. It's Monday. Can he testify right now? A mummer. Yes. Would you believe it? He doesn't have to prove himself. He doesn't have to. No, doesn't matter what it is. Laws of Eidos, the Rambam, laws of Hilchos Eidos, a mummer says, "I'm a kabbal mikan l'haba. I'm a kabbal to do tshuva. I'm shoshan Shabbos." He doesn't have to prove himself. He can now testify mikan l'haba. You have a rebbe, a person, a talmud chacham, a rav, a son who's a klei kodesh. He's mizachil Hashem, and then he's removed. He's fired, and now he says, "You know what? I'm going to do tshuva." Prove it. To do tshuva, you got to prove it. Yeah, let's see how you behave for the next 6 months. If you go for therapy, to prove it. I'm going to do it. Just trust me. Trust me, I'm going to do it. Can you get a job right now? Okay. Your original job, the Rambam says, you're never getting back. You're never going back to your original position, because that is something that has to be accountability. There has to be some accountability. There has to be a statement in Klal Yisrael that if you go and you do, you're a klei kodesh, you're a holy person, you represent Klal Yisrael in the capacity as being a teacher, a klei kodesh, and you blow it, that's it. You don't go back to your original job. You're going to get another job somewhere else. That's a very big dilemma among the poskim. How much tshuva must one do in order to get back his original job?
Okay, so be a child molester, he never gets fired from his position.
What?
If a rabbi is a child molester, but what I hear, sometimes they keep the position.
Well, no, you'll only hear where they can. Those are stories that they don't find them, so they can't prove it. There are rumors. There are rumors, they can't prove it. They can't prove it. They're allegations, and it's not yet been proven. That's a whole different... We're not discussing that. That's a whole different type of... We're discussing over here where the person has been convicted. witnesses have come forward. They've convicted him. He confesses. We're only discussing that. We're not discussing allegations. That's a different story entirely. Bottom line over here, let's review these studies to finish. The bottom line over here is, we have Gemara, Elisha ben Avuya. He was the Rebbe She'eino Hogan, and yet he had Talmud Rebbe Meir. The Gemara, the Chilek Godol V'Katan. Rambam does not make mention of this. Why not? Rambam holds, there's no such thing b'zman hazeh as a Godol. Or, even if you do it, you can only do it privately, you cannot do it publicly. What does a person have to do to make himself into a Talmud, to a Rebbe Shein Hagon? You would think, if you would not know it, it only means apikursis. No. Any Chilul Hashem, the consensus of all of the Rishonim is, the Gemara says, you're out of the box, you're out of the game. A Rebbe Shein Hagon is, your name has been soiled, and that includes arayos, it includes mamon, Chilul Hashem, and that is enough. What happens? The Rambam says you lose your position, you never get your position back. You get another position if you do tshuva. What's the tshuva you need to do? Different opinions how much tshuva you need to do. Look, Rav Moshe is a famous tshuva. There's a lot more material of it. We mentioned the discussion with a Kohen Gadol, with a person who is a murderer, and he goes to the Ari Miklat. He goes to the Ari Miklat, and there he's a Rebbe Shein Hagen, he's bringing Talmidim. So you see, there is such thing with the Rebbe Shein Hagen is teaching. So that's the Marsha deals with that. And then you have to also know there are many Midrashim. David had two colleagues, Doeg and Achi Teufel. It's very important in the car. And David was mispala that these two people, they were Shoyim. It should never be recorded in the Beis Medrash or Shmuel Mipith, even though the words that they taught were before they were apikarsim. Doeg and Achi Teufel only caused trouble for David later on in David's life. But before they caused trouble, Doeg and Achi Teufel were Talmidim in the yeshiva who were outstanding Talmidei Chachamim, and their chidushim, David was mispal that retroactively, all of the chidushim that they taught in the previous days should be discarded. And Hashem accepted his request. So you see from that that a Talmud Chacham then becomes sour, there's accountability, there's a repercussions what happened before. There's a lot of discussion about Moses Mendelssohn, the founder of the conservative movement.
No.
And what? Not the founder?
Not the founder,
but there were people, they were Talmidei Chachamim in the earlier days, I used to quote from him. And they would say we're taking the good, not the bad, and they would deal. There's a lot of very big issue. There's a famous in Rav Moshe about Shlomo Kalbach, even though he does not mention it by name. He does not mention by name of Shlomo Kalbach with music. So here's some of his practices, some of the things that he did was questionable. It was very disturbing to the Haredi world, some of the things that he did. So the question presented to Rav Moshe, are we allowed to listen to his music? Are we allowed to use his music at weddings? And every time you know Kalbach, that right away, it's the same concept. That right away brings to mind, who is this person you see today? And right away is his approach to Kiruv, his approach to other things, is that Torah? So Rav Moshe says it's 100% mutter. Rav Moshe says is totally matur Kalbach, no question whatsoever. And he says it's not comparable to teaching Torah, music, and other things.
What about the other Kalbach?
What? That's a whole different topic of discussion. Holding that, but here he did over here with a person that has been the problem. The people do not approve of the things that he was doing, and then we have over here a product that he has created, which we use in holy settings by simchas, by weddings and Shabbos, zmiris and davening. It's a very interesting shayla. How do you deal with the Ram? How do you deal with the Ram? Moshe says, no, it's not Torah. It's not Torah, it's music. It's a different level. And also, Moshe did not feel, it doesn't seem that the degree of what he did is the category which is equivalent to other types of situations. It's a little bit vague. Why that is the difference? But the bottom line is, we go very light. Kalbach, we go very, very light on.
Can you quote exactly what he writes about Kalbach?
You have to read the Shuv inside. You have to read the whole Shuv inside. He doesn't say his name, but it's clear as day.
What does he write?
What does he write?
What are his words?
As Moshe Feinstein explains the Rambam's... Give me 1 second. I have to find after the show is over because we want to go. All right, we'll leave it with this. It is an interesting topic. Let's stop here. Have a nice day. Let me find it for here. Let me find it for here.
Amen.